G'day, my name's Justin. I'm part of the team here at WBC and welcome to today's broadcast. So good to have you with us. Today, something a little bit different. We've been talking about our shape, what makes us, how we're created, and so many of us deal with this kind of desire to be something or someone else. And yet we've been using phrases like you're an unrepeatable miracle of God and that you should chase after the things that burn in your heart to do. And we know that there's something unique that God has placed on your life. And today I'm going to delve into a few stories of some of the people that have impacted me directly that maybe didn't even know how much of an impact they had on me. And I want to encourage you at this point to start thinking about those people that have had a positive impact on you and have helped shaped you for the better. And maybe while we're going through this conversation today, have a think about those people and maybe even doing what I did and getting in touch with them and saying thank you and maybe just encouraging each other that, hey, we have a massive impact on each other and our shape can benefit other people's shape as well. Hey, we've been hearing some amazing testimonies from our youth leaders about how they came to faith in Jesus. And I thought, what better way to start a conversation about shape and about our storylines and the narratives and how God carries us along than by hearing one of these incredible testimonies. So before we get into it, let's hear from Alex Reed.
Hi, I'm Alex, and this is my story. When I was 16, my school started this cool new thing.
Hey guys, you wanna hear something cool? Come to WACT! Yeah, it's like church, but you need to give up your lunchtime. It's called worship and challenge time. WACT!
So obviously I went along to check it out. Hi, I'm Alex. I'm 16 years old, and today I'm gonna be checking out WACT. My family didn't go to church, and while I thought Christians were pretty weird to begin with, they pray funny. I found out they had something that I didn't, but I'm kind of curious. I wasn't really sure what it was, but they seemed happy and peaceful and pretty cool people. And I wasn't any of those things at the time. As soon as the music started, I started to cry. I didn't know why I was crying, and I couldn't stop crying. And this wasn't just a single glistening tear. This was full on. I was weeping, there was snot, it was full on ugly face crying. I was there with my friends and I was really embarrassed. I cried the whole way through the songs and the message and the prayers, everything. As I was going back to class, a friend stopped me and asked, "Are you okay?" And I was gonna say fine, but then
I'm not okay.
Came out and we ditched class to pray. She told me, "I've been praying for you to become a Christian." It all fell into place for me. I understood that God wanted a relationship with me. This wasn't a list of things that I had to do. It wasn't just me asking God for stuff. He wanted to talk to me. He wanted me to talk to him. He wanted to be with me and he wanted me to love him and he would do the same. Do you wanna accept Jesus? We prayed together and I became a Christian that day.
Amen.
My life started changing. I was learning more about God for fun. You know, reading my Bible, praying, not because I had to, because I wanted to. And it all helped me face the struggles in my life.
Amen.
Later, I started going to church and youth group. This is my Bible. And my relationship with God got deeper and stronger. I made the decision to get baptized.
I want to get baptized.
And I've been with God ever since, and he's been with me. If you want to learn more about my story or more about Jesus, I'd love to talk to you about it. And I'd love to hear your story too.
It's really cold.
God bless you.
That was awesome, Alex. I am inspired. I'm inspired by your tears and your joy and your wigs and how many people
living in ISO right now, just kind of really enjoyed seeing that silliness. In fact, you've inspired me, Alex. I'm excited to do this. I'm going to try a few costume changes, okay? Just because throughout this, we're going to be talking about what you become. And your because determines what you become. And I have a few things that I love to do to help me through the day. Sometimes it's just putting clothes on that I really enjoy using. Sometimes it's just wearing a hat that I love to. People ask me why I wear hats. It's because I have no hair. I used to have hair. Now I don't have hair. So hats really help me out. And honestly, whichever hat I put on could possibly, maybe like the Premier of Victoria, you know, everyone's watching which jacket he puts on at the moment for each of his presses. And that's going to determine something. Maybe you could judge what this sermon is going to be like by the hat that I wear. Trilby. Day out at the races, maybe. Baker boy. What about backwards? Backwards. This one's for special occasions only. Occasions where your sister looks at you and goes, Justin, no. And this one makes me feel like I could be either in the Von Trapp Family Singers or in a New York cafe. I don't know. Let's give it a go. I think today's sermon will stick with this one. I might just take it on and off depending on the day. We've been talking about our shape. We've been talking about our spiritual gifts, our heart, our attitude, our personality, and our experiences. And I thought I'd surround myself with a few things that kind of are me. Good fun playing trumpet. What about, anyway, you've seen all that. Oh, wait. One more thing. Mum always told me I had to dress up for church. Just a second. Whew. All right. Is that okay? Is that all right? We're right. I feel a little bit more dressed up anyway. Ready to share the word. I've got too many Bibles. No, there's never too many Bibles. We've been doing our Seeking Jesus Bible readings throughout this month. And if you haven't joined in one of those, I want to encourage you to do that. The links will be there in the comments section. They're in the e-news. They're anywhere you look for WBC. You'll find them. If you can't find them, just email the office. We'll send them to you 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. Before breakfast or an after dinner kind of time. 20 minutes together reading the word. We've been doing Seeking Jesus, been reading through Mark. And I was so glad we did this on Monday, because it really spoke to me about the message that I want to share with you today. It says in verse 30 of Mark chapter 9, it says, they left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because, this is the important word, because he was teaching his disciples. That was his because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men and they will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask. Jesus' because was so he could teach him. Their understanding caused, or lack of understanding caused, fear. Isn't that one of the biggest challenges to us? I want you to keep that in mind. They were afraid to ask. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? This is Jesus asking his disciples. Jesus, who is all man and all God, knows all things, is asking his disciples to confess something to him. Isn't that reminiscent of perhaps what the walk with Christ should be? Confess something to me. What was it that you were arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because, this was their because, they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Who was the greatest? Who had the most skill, perhaps? Who was the best public speaker? Perhaps who had been able to perform miracles? Or who got to be in Jesus' inner circle? Or who got to be the one that Jesus loved? John. Everybody knew that. John would even say it. Later on, he'd write it in a book. But this is so reminiscent to me of how much we struggle with our own shape. And you see these disciples walking with Jesus. They just tried to heal a demoniac, to drive a demon out, and they had failed at the task that Jesus had showed them to do, taught them to do, led them in. Jesus had taught them, and yet even with his instruction, they had failed. And they're walking along, and then he pulls them aside because he wanted to teach them. He draws them aside because he wanted to teach them. And they hear this teaching, the hardest teaching they're ever going to hear. I am going to die. I'm going to leave you, but I will rise again. What does this even mean? And the ask, seek, knock part of what he had instructed them to do was just not there. It just wasn't there. They reached into their back pocket and couldn't find it. And so instead they get distracted on the road and they start arguing with each other about who is the greatest, who's got the best shape, Who does the most for Jesus, perhaps? Who's advancing the kingdom the most? Who gave up the most? Who sacrificed the most? Who's the smartest? Who's the savviest? Whatever it happens to be, they're arguing. We only get this one sentence, but it speaks so deeply to the human condition. They didn't want to answer him because they had been arguing over who is the greatest. And all Jesus wanted them to do was come away with him because he wanted to teach them. And all they had to do with their fear and their lack of understanding was, wait for it, ask. If you ask, the kids know this in our WBC Kids program, if you ask, he cares. If you seek, he's there. If you knock, 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 God will open up the door. All the WBC kids just did the actions with me. Well, you can do them too if you go to the WBC YouTube channel. I want to talk to you today a little bit about something I hate talking about. I have to talk to you, I've been asked by Pastor Stan, to talk to you about me, about my shape, about my testimony. Now, some of you may look at my personality and say, no, you love to talk about yourself. No, there's a difference between talking about what you produce and talking about who you are. I don't mind talking to you about things I've made, things I've created, things I want to show you, but I don't particularly enjoy talking about me, the deeper parts of me, in a wider public forum. Why? Well, for the same reason you don't like talking about it, because you don't want to reveal your hand too much. You don't want to show too much of yourself and perhaps risk judgment. But here's the example that Jesus gave us. In fact, John wrote it down in Revelation. He said, they will know them by the blood of the Lamb, right? The mark on their lives. I'm known by Jesus. And by the word of their testimony. The word of our testimony is the truth of who we are because of who Christ is. Our narrative, our story, is the most important thing we carry. And we live in an era, perhaps more so than ever, where we almost distrust anything said to us on the primary listen. It's almost, you know, we laugh a little about, we used to believe everything the news says, now we sort of believe nothing the news says. We used to believe everything our friends say, now we see what they publish on social media and believe nothing that they say. We have an enormous distrust of information coming in. But Jesus said, when I speak to you, I speak truth. In fact, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't have a way to life without the truth. So we want the truth. Your because determines what you become. I need to ask when I don't know. I need to share when I feel like showing you part of me will help you. And I need to let Jesus speak I just need to let Jesus speak. So I'm hoping that Jesus will speak to us, that the Holy Spirit will inform this conversation today, and that you'll be a little bit more confident perhaps in sharing your narrative if I share a bit of mine. I am a journaler. I love to write. I love to surround myself with music. A couple of my favorite books, and this is my favorite. I've got my coffee here, so here's my coffee. I hope you're having one with me at home. Long Black Hello Coffee. Good stuff. In fact, for those of you looking overseas, the brand of the coffee is called Hello Coffee. Okay, it's called Hello Coffee. It's good stuff. Look it up. My brother-in-law roasted. But here's what I think about life. Life feels a lot like this to me sometimes. I'm not good at these things. This is a Rubik's Cube. I have watched that special on Netflix called The Speed Cubers. I have no idea how to do cubing just in general. It makes no sense to me. It's incredibly difficult. My brain doesn't do whatever this is. If your brain does, you are amazing. I am amazed by you. You're the person that stuns me. I don't know how you do this. And this is how life feels to so many of us. It's like it should make sense, but it kind of doesn't. You feel a little bit all over the place. One of the beautiful things about going back and going through your story, be it a long walk with Christ or a short walk with Christ, or perhaps you never even confessed your life to Christ and you haven't walked with him yet. Go back and reminisce and have a think about the things that have shaped you, because they are the things that have molded you. And we believe as Christian people that shape has purpose. Everything about you has purpose. Pastor Mark recently reminded us that we are unrepeatable miracles of God. What a great reminder. Pastor Stan spoke to us recently about our heart and being so moved with compassion. You remember, just after Jesus had found out that he'd lost his cousin John had been unjustly killed. Jesus walks to a place to try and get some solitude, to weep and just to process his grief. And he looks out and he sees a crowd that has followed him. And the scripture records that he was moved with compassion. Pastor Stan, talk to us about what is it that moves us? What is it that our heart absolutely has to do? What is it that burns us up inside? As the way I like to put it is that wonderful double negative. What is it that you can't not do? To me, I love to write. I can't not write. I write all the time. I can't not play music. I play music all the time. I can't not use music for godly purposes, for worship and those sorts of things. And so I looked back through my story. I was born at Warrigal Hospital in 1978. I spent the first 9 to 10 years of my life in Warrigal through about 7 or 8 different primary schools as my parents were leading primary schools. My father was a primary school principal. He worked in multiple schools as the education department moved him through his promotions, and we went to all these little towns in Gippsland, and it seemed like every 6 months I changed primary school. Some of you can relate to that. So I'm the kind of person, and some of you already know this about me, that loves moving in and out of different spaces and meeting new people. I actually really, really enjoy that. I get as intimidated as most people, but I'm probably a little more comfortable walking in and meeting strangers than some people are. When we were 10, in about I think it was about 1987, my parents had gone through a revival moment in their own lives and come to a deeper understanding of their faith in Christ. And so they felt called to ministry, to planting churches. So they dropped what they were doing and they went to Bible college. In 1989, they took on their first church in Currumburra, Country Victoria, Currumburra, Gippsland. Beautiful town, still love it to this day. But that was in 1989. And so I went to Currumburra Primary School for grade 6 and then to Currumburra High School in year 7 to 10. From there, I went to my VCE. I did at Leongatha. Leongatha High School was known for its incredible music program. That music program was what inspired me to take on music as an option in my life, as a part of my tertiary study. And there's a whole lot of things through there. Through those high school years, I played more and more music. But the main influence on my musical output and my expression of my gifts was in church life, because, of course, churches use music all the time. And so at the age of 11, I started playing drums in church. That's where I got my passion for improvisation through worship and for drumming and for driving the groove. One of the people that hugely influenced me was my mate Craig Anderson. He's just, of course, he's an Aussie bloke. So, of course, we don't call him Craig. We don't call him Anderson. His name is Ando, obviously. And so I took a little bit of time out and I decided I would hang out with my mate Ando. So, look, I'm just going to quickly change my shirt and I'll introduce you to Ando. Let's check this out.
Hey Siri, what's 0 divided by 0?
Imagine that you have 0 cookies and you split them evenly among 0 friends. How many cookies does each person get? See, it doesn't make sense. And Cookie Monster is sad that there are no cookies. And you are sad because you have no friends.
So I want to, now I got to give people some context. My parents took on a church in Currumburra and you became the music director. I think like in a small country church, if you get on board, you love Jesus and you play an instrument, that's just job done, right?
That's it, yeah.
And I reckon it would have been a pretty high paying job too.
Oh, it was a mess. Yeah.
What's 0 divided by 0? What many people will not realize is Ando had an impact on me as a musician. You led me in worship and I was on the stage with you in that little church, and we did Christian radio together. We did a show on 3MFM, The Sound of the South.
Yeah, Sound of the South.
Wasn't the show called On the Rock?
Yes. As part of all of that, we did put on a couple of local youth rallies. So we got a band going together and put on gigs. Yeah.
And I wrote a song for that.
You did.
But
it must have been one of your first ones you wrote, was it?
Probably, possibly, yeah, I reckon. Because I looked up to you as a songwriter, it was something that was really, it was just really simple, but it was a really powerful thing for me. Because you as a song, because you used to write a ton of our worship songs for our church.
Yeah.
And then you told me I could do it too.
As the Bible says, sing to the Lord a new song. There's so many that I would just sing in my own devotion times and nothing would ever come of them. No one else would ever hear them.
Mm.
Every now and then you'd think, oh, this is pretty cool. I might share it with someone. And then suddenly church is singing it. I had a number of prayer meetings that I went to with the church and I would just play the piano the whole time. So from the start, we'd sing a song, but then I'd just play a chord progression for the rest of it. And it was like an hour-long prayer meeting. So people could just go into free worship if they wanted to, or it was there as a platform for pray.
Yeah, and to me, that facilitation of atmosphere, that facilitation of flow, was tremendously important to you. And I think I caught that from you as well. I say this to everyone. I'm not a good prayer, but put an instrument in my hand and I can pray in worship for as long as you like.
Yeah. I'm exactly the same thing. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth said, never pray for more than 20 minutes, but never go more than 20 minutes without praying. I probably learned a lot from your parents was trusting people with the ministry that they've got. That was, I think, where we got a lot of license to be able to have a go at stuff. And it was a safe place to fail. And that was one of the things I kept saying is, give it a go. If it doesn't work, we don't do it. If it does work, well, we've grown a little bit, haven't we?
And if we fail, maybe we learn something. Maybe we grow a little. I'm so thankful to people like Ando and his wife, Salia, and all of the team there in Gippsland. They're still there in Gippsland. And I'm so thankful to them for allowing me to have a go and to fail. One of my great passions in life is journaling. I have journals all around the place. I love to write. You know that. And I love to share the Word of God. This is one I found from 2011, I think. I couldn't find a specific date on it, but it's around that. And this is the very first entry in this particular journal. I just wanted to share this with you. It says, Romans 10:8, but what does it say? The Word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith we are proclaiming. And this is my little journal entry. Paul quotes Deuteronomy 30:14 when speaking in this letter. The word is near you and it is set before you, is set before us to choose life or death. It is not in my righteousness that I can earn this. No one can complete the law. Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. This journal, obviously I'm introducing it, is to help me get the word in my mouth and on my heart so that I can honestly say that the word is always near me. I know that the Holy Spirit is always with me and can reveal all wisdom. But I know that in the book, it gives me a multi... But I know that the book gives me a multiplication effect. Ando was one of those first guys that showed me, open the word and the word can become a song. That's a principle I've taken through my whole life. It's a principle where I learned from my father to read the Bible, just a chapter a night. Just try it. If you have never tried that, just try it. You may feel like you don't understand it, but just try it. I promise you, life speaks from these words. And this is a journal entry from around the age of 30, 10 years ago, where I was able to express that had been taught to me by my father as a child, expressed to me through Ando's songwriting and the way he helped me through those things as well. Remember in Mark chapter 10, we spoke about Jesus' because. His because was to draw away with the disciples so he could teach him. Their because was because they were fearful and didn't know the answers. And his answer is ask, seek, and knock. Let me encourage you, we all must ask more questions, even the tough ones. The toughest ones are the best ones to ask and keep asking them. I have found that through my life, these elements that I have around me have always influenced me. The same questions have come up over and over and over again. That's my shape. My shape is curious about these types of things. Yours is different. But whatever it is, make sure you ask. Go to the Holy Spirit. Go to people who have influenced you. Go to people of wisdom that bear fruit. The Bible says you will know them by their fruit. Go and look for people with good fruit and ask them the question. Ask, just ask. The disciples could have asked Jesus, what do you mean by that, Jesus? But they didn't, because they thought in their own insecurities that they were supposed to already know. And they didn't. They just didn't know. Why didn't they ask Jesus? They could have saved themselves a lot of trouble. We need to seek more. The psalmist says he looks to the hills from where comes his help. Look to the horizon. Look beyond your now. Your now is shaping you. It's hard to understand how, but look to the horizon. Look to the light. John 1 verse 5, the light has come and the darkness has not overcome it. One of my favorite scriptures. Scriptures can form you and mold you. Romans 10:8 that I spoke about before says that the word can be in our hearts and that's going to mold us and shape us. The word is near us. It is in us. John 1 5, the light has come and the darkness has not overcome it. This is Proverbs 18:16. It says, a gift, the gifts that we've been talking about, opens the way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of the great. Your gift, discover it. It makes a way for the giver. Your gift makes a way for you. So if you would listen to the Holy Spirit on and the wise people that he's put around you on your shape, perhaps you can discover your gift and it'll actually make a way for you. And it presents you, it says it here, it ushers them into the presence of the great. Who are the great? Whoever you need to influence. Remember, Jesus says, if you want to be the greatest, you've got to be the least, right? The disciples were arguing about who the greatest is. He's like, forget about it. That's got nothing to do with it. Your gift will usher you into the presence of those who need your gift. Trust the Holy Spirit's work in you. Trust that he has made you just the way he wanted to make you. And trust that when you ask, seek, knock, and you direct that asking and seeking and knocking towards Christ, your shape becomes more apparent. I've never been a door kicker. And when I've tried to kick doors, they've simply swung back and smacked me in the face because I'm knocking on the wrong door. When I knock on the right door and it opens, I didn't push it open, it is opened, something beautiful is on the other side. You know, that's what Jesus says, that if you come to me, I will come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. On the other side of this door, you're inside a box that's trapping you. Knock and seek him, and he will open the way to greater peace and greater contentment. Even in times of trouble, even in times of great pressure, even in times of great distress, those moments will shape you. One person, as I looked back through my journey, who has shaped me greatly, and I probably didn't really know this until I started thinking about it, was a friend of mine named Roma. She's a musician, she's a singer-songwriter. Some of you may know who she is. She's had a great impact on Christian music throughout Australia and across overseas. She's an award-winning songwriter. She also began a group called the Melbourne Gospel Choir, which I got to be a part of for a little while there as well. But I thought again, I'll change my shirt again, and I'm just going to open it up and talk to Rome. We always have a great laugh together. She has a prophetic gift. She has a gift of discernment. She's actually been a great influence on my life, and I just wanted to ring her and thank her for that. Let's say g'day to Rome.
I'm going to sneeze.
Bless you. Do you ever wonder if a sneeze is just God's way of making sure people bless other people?
I'll send this to you later, but...
Oh, no. I'm screenshotting this. Hang on.
I remember... I can't remember the first verse.
Living by yourself. I don't even know what key you're in, but...
Ain't it funny how people change? Ain't it funny the words can make you cry? Ain't it funny how people change? Ain't it funny when you love somebody?
Oh my gosh, so much fun. That's about the only part of the song I remember.
For whatever reason, our lives keep intersecting. We've done albums together. Do you remember we did Toowoomba Sun together?
Yes. Toowoomba Sun.
I was trying to think of all the other interactions we've had. Gospel choir.
We were worship pastoring at the same time. I'd come to your church and do stuff and vice versa.
I don't remember. How did I get involved in the gospel choir? Was that you?
Yes. Thank you very much. I'm taking the credit.
Okay.
And you fit right in. I mean, honestly, we've missed you those years when you went, no, I've got to go into ministry. Ministry's too busy now. You made everybody laugh with your amazing shoes you wear. And I would say this about you. Your personality, even in the highs and the lows of life, you've stayed the same. Your personality has stayed the same. Is it your faith in God? Like, what's the...
When I think about the shape, I think about my folks, obviously, who I watched... stay stoic. You know, they went from teaching jobs to cleaning jobs so they could plant churches. Mm. And I observed people do that. I observed adults do that for the sake of the gospel. So I think it gave me that sense. I think there's other things like mum and dad were very good at exposing us to cultures other than our own.
Your parents are pretty amazing. You can see what a difference it makes. I think parents underestimate staying strong, and now you're passing that legacy on to your kids. It's pretty awesome.
I look at people like yourself who I've journeyed with you, and I've seen you stay strong, and I've seen others, like some of the valleys in your life have been pretty deep valleys. And you still like Jesus and his church.
I do.
You know, and I think, honestly, it's really as simple as that. I've seen a lot of people go through a lot of stuff where they really should have just blown it up and gone, I'm leaving, I'm out of here. And they don't.
They can shape you in a good way. You know, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. So when you're in those moments, and there's probably people that are watching this right now where, you know, maybe they've lost their job or they've lost someone to COVID or they're really struggling with being locked down in some form. In the moment, they're terrible. In the moment, it's awful. And we don't want to diminish the pain of that. But at the same time, God will use it for good. You know, what the enemy intends for evil can turn around for good. So all those things, even though they've scarred me, you know, in particular my dad passing away was really, really hard. But they've also shaped me and they've shaped my compassion for people. You know, I think that's the big thing is when you go through things that are hard, it does give you compassion for others, you know. I come from crazy Pentecostal background, as you know, and I hate it when people go, if someone's depressed or they're sick, like, oh, you need to just pray or you need to, I'm just like, oh my gosh. Because I remember in that season praying every single prayer, asking God to forgive me of every single sin I could think of, you know, all that stuff. And yes, you've got to keep your heart right, but in the end, those struggles and those pains, God will turn them into creating a beautiful work of art. You know all about that because you wrote a song on that.
I'm genuinely grateful for people like Roma, who I haven't walked a day-to-day walk with her, but her journey has impacted my journey. And I thought it was important to remind us that it's not just the people that you've lived in the pocket of that influence you. It's people at a great distance. Maybe great writers or great teachers, or maybe it's your pen pal. Maybe it's your sponsor child. Maybe it's that NGO that you connect with. You give them money and their stories come back to you and that shapes you. Maybe that's shaping your heart for mission. When I look at Craig, his name's Ando. When he went overseas with my father to the Philippines, my father and mother have a great passion for international missions and for taking the gospel and to impacting people with grace and compassion. And I went on one of those trips, and that's where he met his wife, Celia. 25 years later, they're married, they love each other, they love Jesus and the church. What an incredible outcome. But I'm thankful to these people that I've either had direct impact on me, and there's too many of them to name. I'm 40 something now and I forget a lot of things, but there's too many to name, but you know who you are. Thank you to all of you who helped shape me and mold me, picked me up when I was down, helped me through those hard seasons. But life still kind of feels like that. But the shape is okay, isn't it? It's not bad. It's just a bit spotty. It's just a bit wacky. But if I do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, if I'm lucky, toward the end of my life, perhaps, God will make sense of it all and go, look, I made you, I shaped you, I gave you the colors I needed you to have, and I'll make you perfect in my time. But your shape right now is perfect for who you are right now. Your because determines what you become. I want my because to be because I needed to draw away with Jesus and hear from his voice. Because I had the word of God in my heart, I could speak truth. Because I pressed into the gift and the way I'd been shaped, it shaped me to bless others. Because I reached out and was the heart of God and hand to man. You know, because I was that servant of all. Because I didn't think of any job too small. Because I didn't care about whether I was the greatest or the least of these. Because I knew I was a son, you a daughter, a son of God, of the Most High God, because I knew I was created, because I knew that the difficult things in life would make sense, maybe not even in the now, maybe not even in my lifetime, but in the light of eternity. We read John the Baptist's story and it makes sense to us. We read Jesus' story and it makes sense to us. We read your story and it will make sense, maybe not even to you, but it will make sense to those who come after you. Plant good seeds, live a good life, let the Holy Spirit shape you. Your because determines what you become. Ask. Keep asking questions. Ask as many questions as you can of the Holy Spirit. Mankind often can't answer them. But keep petitioning those prayers. Keep seeking. Look to the hills from where comes your help. Keep changing your view and seeking the light. And remember that the light has come into the world. John 1:5, the light has come into the world and the darkness has not overcome it. I've been blessed in my life to be able to write songs, and it's been a fun journey so far. Still more songs to come. But this is an album that I did years ago. It's not digitized. You can't get it. It's not a great album. But there was a great song on it that I wrote that I thought might sum this whole thing up. It's a song that I wrote in a hymn style for all of those who like that style. And, I gave it a really creative title. I called it Hymn. But I thought, as a point of focus today, maybe we could stop for a moment and remind ourselves of the way He shapes us. That we are called to make our life an offering, a sweet sound unto Him. I've been through lots of stuff and I don't have time to tell you my whole life story, but hopefully some of the insights you've got from some of these people that have influenced me help you understand perhaps how it all works. I've been gravely ill at times and in ICU. I've been in places of great, great heartbreak, places of great distress, where I remember driving one day, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, and my world was so enormously confusing that all I could think to do was scream as loud as I could whilst driving, because there was no one there. Maybe the drivers that saw me would be a bit freaked out by this stranger, but I didn't have words. I couldn't explain how knotted up all of the relational stuff, the ministry stuff. I was living for God. And yet I found myself in a position where so many things were falling down around me that I was brought to my knees and I screamed. For 3 days after that, I couldn't sing. I couldn't really speak without hurting my voice. That's how visceral that moment was for me. And it reminds me of my own humanity and that ability to just go, let go. Let life, if you know, at least if you're driven to your knees, you look up and you pray. You ask for His help. So don't underestimate, don't ever look at another person if they're smiling and happy and think they're fine. You don't have to delve into their life story, but don't assume the highlight that you're seeing of their life is comparable to your behind the scenes chaos. It's just not. We need to walk alongside each other. Scripture is full of that lesson. Walk alongside, take time and speak. Jesus drew His disciples away because He wanted to teach them difficult things. And they didn't ask and they should have asked. What does that mean? Ask that question. Ask, seek, look to where the light comes from. Look to the word, imprint it on your heart. Let it shape you and mold you. When I wrote this particular song, it was in one of those times where I was letting that word speak to me and shape me and mold me. And I just sang that lyric, may my life be an offering, sweet the sound of the song I bring. So, we've been changing hats. I'll change the hat once more. And let me sing this song to you and over you, and then join me after the service with Pastor Stan and Deanna, and we'll talk it through a little more. God bless you.
When night's dark and coldness still holds to ransom high and will, through life's journey, good and ill, Jesus King of Kings rules still. May my this world's rough, our sin's burden, weight is cross. Though could I never pay the cost, glory. die for us. May my life be an offering, sweet the sound of this song I bring. For I know my God is with me. Light of the world, grand strength, still fear.
Come on.
Thoughts held captive now to Him. Change this heart heavy within. Cover all my guilty sin. Fires of love's fire begin. May
strength still.